So Shmuel Beis Perketes, in Pasuk Aleph opens up. Vergas HaMelech V'yal Al Aliyas HaShar V'yevk. David HaMelech is very upset. He goes up to the top. He starts crying. V'koy Amar Balechtoy. This is, as he's walking and crying, this is what he's saying. B'ni Avshalim. B'ni V'ni Avshalim. Mi ten Musi Ani Tachtecha Avshalim B'ni B'ni. Now, it's very clear from this Pasuk that he's mentioning B'ni a lot of times. In this pasuk, he mentions it 5 times, and a few psukim later, he mentions it another 3 times, 8 times altogether. What is the significance of the amount of times he's mentioning Bini? So the Mefarshim explain that Avshalom was in the 7th level of the Gehenim, the lowest level possible in Gehenim. So every time David HaMelech cried, every time he said Bini, he elevated him to the higher level in Gehenna. So 7 times got up to the highest level of Gehenna. And the 8th time brought him to Gan Eden. We see how much an unconditional love of a father to his son. Even though his son is such a horrible person, he rebelled against his own father just to be king. The unconditional love of David HaMelech brought him all the way down to the depths of Gehenna, all the way to Gan Eden. Now another point is, when he's saying B'ni B'ni, he's saying, first of all, you acted like a son to a father, even though you rebelled against me, and you wanted to be king, still you tried whatever you could in your power. You did not go with the advice of Achitofel that would lead to my death. You tried the best you could to spare my life and not kill me. So that's also what he means by over here, B'ni B'ni, meaning you acted like a son and you did not try to kill me. Another thing he's mentioning over here is that he's saying, Mi ten musi ani tachtecha, meaning I wish I would have died instead of you. Well, what does that mean? Because David right now is recognizing that the death of Avshalom is coming to him. Why? Because of the chet with Bathsheba, right? The Navi already told him that he's going to be punished, that someone from in his house is going to come up against him, and eventually we knew that 4 sons died, 4 sons of David HaMelech ended up dying. So we had the first baby that came from the first time he was with Bathsheba, and then Amnon, that was the second son that died, and now Avshalom, the third son that died. And David HaMelech knew that this is happening not because, meaning also because of Avshalom, but it's happening really because of his chet, because of his affair with Bathsheba. That's why Avshalom died, and that's what he's saying. I wish I would have died instead of him.
Okay, that's all fine and good, but if it was such a sin, how come her son is able to become king through a sin?
Well, because David HaMelech did tshuva.
He did tshuva.
Now, Chazal say that Re'uya Hoysa Vashavah LaDavid Mishesh Yisamei Bereishis. She was fit for David since the creation of the world. They were destined to get married. That was for sure. There was no question
right.
about it.
Okay, so, I mean, why do you call it a sin if it had to happen that way?
Well, the son that came from the time that they were together, they were not allowed to be, that son died.
Yeah.
Only later on, when they actually got married legitimately, right?
It all fits in with all the things that happened from the beginning of the world. It's supposed to happen that way, even though it wasn't right.
Right.
It seems it's not right.
Well, there's another point when it comes to Mashiach. It's brought down, and the Nesivah Shalom brings down that if you look through all the relationships that brought for that through, you look through the Messianic line, right? Many, many relationships along that line are very questionable. That are, you know, they're done in sin. They're done, you know, they wasn't supposed to be. The people who did it were wrong. It starts from Lot with his daughters, right? He was with his daughters. Then you have Yehuda and Tamar. Right? His daughter-in-law. You have David and Bathsheba. All these relationships are really, really questionable and
Didn't we say that was the fool To fool Yetzer Hara, or what's his
exactly.
name there?
Yeah, so it's exactly. To fool the Sitra Achra,
yeah.
Meaning Hashem has to hide, so to speak, the Messianic line through all the back alleys, that so the Sitra Achra would not even think to look there. That's why, again, this had to happen this way. And even though it seems like, you know, how could Mashiach come out of this relationship, but that's the way it's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yeah, so David HaMelech is crying now, he's saying, B'ni, B'ni, brings Hashem all the way down from the depths of Gehenna all the way to Gan Eden. V'yugad le'yoyav, hina HaMelech bo'icha, v'yis'abel alav sholim. Yoyav is told that the king is crying. Not only is he crying, but he's mis'abel, he's mourning over Hashem. Now, Yoav did not like this. He's not happy. Why? Because he understood, obviously, the king would be upset. You know, it's his son who died, after all. Even though he rebelled against him. After all, at the end of the day, this is his son. What he was upset about was the fact that David HaMelech is mourning over Avshalom. You are not supposed to mourn over Haruge Beis Din, right? Someone who's killed by Beis Din, the halacha is, there's no availus. You don't have to chiva over them, right? There's actually a special place to bury them in the cemetery. You're not even allowed to bury them with the rest of Klal Yisrael, right? Do not mourn over someone who was killed by Beis Din, and you do not mourn over someone who was killed when he was rebel against the king, right? So Yoav is very upset. It's one thing if you're upset, you're crying. Okay, I understand. But to mourn over him, to mamash mourn, that you're not supposed to do, right? And also he took it personally because it's as if he's David HaMelech is sending a message that it was the wrong thing to do to kill Avshalom, where Yoav held that it was the right thing to do, because if he would not have killed Avshalom, the rebellion would continue. It would never end until Avshalom would be dead. And Yoav was extremely loyal to David HaMelech. To the extent.
That just goes to show you, it's his son. It's not Yoav's son.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's his cousin.
You can't, no matter what, a person has feelings. And usually, if you have children, you love them.
Right.
No matter what they do.
Right.
The other guy, it's not his son. How does he know if it was his son? He'd do the same thing.
Right. Well, Yoav understands why he's upset. But to have an halachic avelus, mamash to sit shiva over him, that you're not supposed to do. I'm saying, if someone has a son, chas v'shalom, should never happen. If someone has a son who was killed by Beis Din, right? You're still, even though you're upset, you're not allowed to have sit shiva for him. Right? Halachically, you're not allowed to. So you have a saying, the same thing over here. Just like you're not allowed to sit shiva over Haruge Beis Din, so too you're not allowed halachically to sit shiva over someone who was killed because he was a rebel.
Rebel.
But like we said, everything that happened through the wisdom, they weren't allowed either, but they happened.
Right.
It's not supposed to be whichever, but he was.
Well, that's good.
You can say not allowed, nothing. Where would be Sheikh be if they didn't think
right.
what they weren't allowed?
Well, it's going
right.
to upset the whole country. Besides, you got an enemy and you're crying over him.
Right. Yoav is actually going to address this point. Like, let's see. He says that. Plus the Gimel continues. What began as a winning for David HaMelech now turned into mourning to all the people because they realized that the king is so upset and he's mourning. When everyone heard that David HaMelech was crying. Yeah. So unlike Yoav, who was upset that David HaMelech was mourning, the rest of the people joined in with the mourning of David HaMelech. Everyone is kind of like sneaking back into the city, going back home because they're they don't know where to bury themselves. They were rooting for the wrong side, and now here is David HaMelech regaining control. We're gonna see. It's not going to go as smoothly.
Talk about his soldiers, right?
Yeah.
When the soldiers came back and right. they're happy, they won all of a sudden.
Right. All of a sudden it turns into a day of mourning.
It turns into...
V'amelech lot espanov v'izak amelech kol gadol. David Melech put his hands, his face in his hands, and he starts screaming very loudly, B'ni Avshalom, Avshalom, B'ni B'ni. These are the other three times that, to bring it up to eight, as we mentioned, to bring him down from the Shiva Madar Gehenim all the way to Gan Eden.
He was his first child, right? He's the oldest?
No. Amnon was the oldest. Avshalom was next in line. He was his second child.
So why did he think that he could take over Amnon?
Because Amnon was dead.
Oh, he wasn't there, okay.
Yeah, he's dead. Okay. Avshalom actually killed Amnon.
Right.
He killed Amnon for the whole thing with his sister, Tamar.
Each one is a pachot of their mother.
Yeah.
Besides.
Right. A lot of murders over here.
Huh?
A lot of murders. Yoav el Melech Habayis. Yoav is very upset. He's coming to tell the king off for what he's doing. He comes into the house. You are now insulting all of your people. See, all your men who fought loyally by your side are now being let down by you, David HaMelech. Right? They're not protecting you, they're protecting your family, they're protecting your pilakshim, your concubines. As we remember, as we recall, Avshalom was intimate with 10 of David's concubines. So he's telling him clearly, he's trying to work against you, he's trying to hurt your family. Right? Don't think that, oh, he doesn't want to kill me, he's such a righteous man. No! We see clearly that he's very willing to go ahead and hurt your family. And now you're going ahead and you're insulting those who fought by your side to bring back your power. So how could you now be sad for Avshalom's death, right? If he was still alive, then you and your whole household would still be in danger, right? We were allowed to kill him because halachically is considered to be a rodef. He's trying to kill you and your family. And you're allowed to kill someone who's trying to kill you. That's the halacha. Right?
Yeah, he's committed adultery with his...
Yeah, he committed adultery.
Father's wives.
Yeah.
Concubines.
Right? Now you're doing the opposite. You're loving your enemy. And you're hating...
It seems the other way around.
Right.
If we would have lost, you would have been happy.
Exactly. Were you wishing to lose? You wish that the men that you sent to war, you wish they would actually lose at war? They would lose the battle? Right? It looks like you would be happier that Avshalom would have won. Me and all the rest of the army would have died, and then he would be happy. Right? That's what it looks like. That's what you're making it look like. So he's not just giving mussar, a very stark mussar, to David HaMelech. V'ata kum tse v'dabar al leva v'decho, ki v'ashem nishbati ki encha yoytze im yolin ish yitcho alayla, v'ro alecho zoyt mikol arroa sherbo alecho minu recha v'adata. He's saying, go ahead, make a speech to the nation, tell them that you're thanking them for their service, for their loyalty to you, and that you appreciate that they're standing by your side. Because the way it's perceived by the people is very
it's
negative.
The opposite.
Yeah.
Saying, and if you don't go out and apologize, they're all going to leave.
Right. And he's saying, not only that, I understand that you're very upset, you're very distraught over the death of your son, but as a king, what a king does is he puts his personal feelings aside, and he deals, and he puts on the top of the priority list, he puts the issues of the people, of the nation, right? That should be your first priority. Don't put your personal feelings and your emotions in front of everybody else. That's the wrong thing to do. So the king listens to Yoav. He stands at the gate. Everyone comes to hear what the king has to say. So everyone is coming to listen. However, the rest of the people who were fighting against David, meaning the people who were fighting by his side, are coming to hear what he has to say because they want to hear, you know, they hear that he's upset, that he's distraught, that he's mourning. They want to hear what he has to say. But the rest of the people who fought against him, they're running home. So now we're going to see what's going to happen. How is David HaMelech going to regain control and establish his kingdom?
It could be a revolution.
Yeah, well, we're kind of like in the middle of a revolution. Absalom tried to take over. Now he's dead.
They lost. Well, now he has to get them back on his side.
Well, because he's crying over his son and not taking care of the people first, they could revolt against them.
Meaning the people that fought by his side.
They could, and the other people could...
you're right. The people who fought against him definitely are not going
to... It means the people that helped them see he don't appreciate it. Mm. So... Maybe we were wrong. I mean, you know.
Right.
So that.
Right.
So then he woke up.
Right. So now then he woke up. Then he addressed the nation, and he's telling them he's appreciating them. But so that is less of an issue. That's less of a problem. His bigger problem now is to gain the loyalty
of the other people who are
fighting against him.
Right.
Because they're not going to be too quick to accept him as king. First of all, you know, they didn't really, they actually wanted Avshalom to be king. They didn't want him. Mm-hmm. Secondly, they're concerned, they're afraid that maybe he's going to, you know, take revenge against him. He's going to kill them. Right? Who knows what he's going to have kind of collective punishment for all the people. So they're concerned.
The losers get killed.
Right? That's what usually happens. So they're waiting to see. They're very unsure, very uncertain to see, you know, what David HaMelech is going to do exactly.
What's going on in Turkey today? Same thing.
Yeah. Still going on in Turkey?
Yeah, they're arresting people. They don't know what's good.
Vayichal am nodin b'chol shifte Yisrael leimar, HaMelech etzilonim b'kaf oyveinu. So now the rest of the people who were fighting for Avshalom, they're saying, now listen, Avshalom is now dead. And David HaMelech, after all, now they're remembering it. It's a bit too late. But they're remembering, remember, he was the one who saved us from the hands of Plishtim. He fought at all our wars. He's our hero. And now he's running away. Maybe we should talk or bring him back, right? Not only that, but Avshalom, who we appointed as king, is now dead. Right, so we've got nobody left. Right, so now David HaMelech is addressing the rest of the people, and he's saying, in order to gain a movement, to gain momentum of people who are now going to join the camp of David, the question is, who is going to lead that movement? You can't have the people do it because everyone's running away. Everyone's, you know, running for their life. They're trying to, you know, to run home to stay safe, right? So the people are not going to do it, right? They're just trying to stay alive. So you have to have some kind of leader who's going to take a stance and show that he's now loyal to David HaMelech, and everyone will follow suit. So what does David HaMelech do? V'HaMelech David cholach al tzadik v'alav yasar koyhanim leimor. He sends Tzadik and Avyasar. Dabru al Zikne Yehuda Lamer, Lama Tiu Achareinim Lahoshi Vesamelech al Beisai. Udvar Ko Israel Boil Amelech al Beisai. So he's sending a word to the Skanim. Remember the Sanhedrin? That Avshalom got on his side? Avshalom fooled them, right? He showed them the letter that David Melech sent that, you know, two of the Skanim should come with him. He showed it to 200 of them, and they all came with him. So now they're concerned. They're afraid. You know, they joined Avshalom in his rebellion. So they're uncertain. Maybe David HaMelech is going to punish them. So he's telling them, why would you be the last ones to come and join me and support me as king? Right? What does he mean by why would you be the last ones?
Who were they talking to at the first pasuk?
Which one?
Salem Shalom, who we anointed out over us, is dead. Now, therefore, why speak
right.
no,
so
ye not?
Right.
Who are they talking to? Why are, ye not you?
These are the people amongst themselves.
Amongst themselves?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. This is not a conversation between David and Iskani. In Pasuk and Beis, that's where...
What can we do to get back in the good graces?
Right. They're trying to figure out, okay, what do we do now? Shalom's dead. David is now, he's still alive, but, I don't know if we want him to be king. Maybe he's going to kill us. They're trying to figure things out. There's a whole... It's not like a natural coming back of David. Okay, Absalom's okay. Now David HaMelech is king. Very simple, very easy. It's not like that. There's a whole tumult going on, and people are trying to figure out what to do, who they're loyal to. So that's why David HaMelech is sending a message to the Zkenim to have them start the movement to lead the rest of the people. And once the Skanim show that they're loyal to David HaMelech, then the rest of the people will follow suit, and they say, okay, if the Skanim are loyal, then we should be loyal too. And now he's addressing their concern. Their concern is, okay, we rebelled against David HaMelech. We joined the camp of Avshalim. So maybe David HaMelech is going to kill us. Who knows? He's not going to kill us down the line. So what is he addresses that concern, and he says, Achayatem, you are my brothers. Atzmi v'soryatem, you are part of my shevet. You're part of my tribe. You should be the first ones. Don't wait until the end. You should be the first ones to go ahead and show your loyalty to me. And he's telling them, meaning I understand. He understands that they're debating the point of if they want to. They want to have him king again. So they're saying, listen, first he's addressing his the default position. Meaning, I'm assuming that you obviously want me to be king. So why are you waiting to be last, right? And then at the end, he kind of mentions, if you don't want me to be king, which is probably not, not a real possibility, but, you should be the ones. So he's wisely addressing the stronger possibility that they wanted to be king. He addresses that first. And now, so he's dealing with all the main components of her, the main leaders, who are going to take a stance, and once he has them in his hand, then he's sure that he's going to have everybody else. But Amasa was the general of Shalim. So what's the message for Amasa? But Amasa told me, "Hale atmi v'sariyato," right? You are part of my family. You're my nephew. Koyasin li alakim v'choyoyisiv. He's now appointing Amasa to be the general, his personal general, instead of Yoav, a very high position. So now, Amasa, it's obvious why he wants to gain him, to gain his loyalty. But on the other hand, Amasa was the general of Avshalom who fought against him, who fought against David HaMelech. So the Ralbag brings over three reasons why he wanted Amasa to be his personal general. So the obvious reason is because he wanted Amasa to show his loyalty. Right? Once Amasa shows his loyalty to David HaMelech, then everybody else, the rest of his army, will follow him. And secondly, he brings another reason that maybe he was upset, maybe David HaMelech was upset at Yoav. The fact that Yoav spoke to him so harshly, that's why he wanted to remove Yoav from his position and to appoint Amasa instead.
Well, Yoav kills...
Right, that's the last reason. The last reason he brings is because he was upset at Yoav for killing his son, Avshalom, after he clearly told everybody, do not hurt my son. V'yatas levav kol yishihuda ki yishechad. So David HaMelech's plan, his plan works, and Amasa, once he's appointed as a general, he brings the rest of his army together with him, And once the army of Avshalom are now loyal to David HaMelech, then the rest of the people all follow suit. And they send a message to David HaMelech. Remember, David HaMelech at this point is still on the other hand of the Yarden, still on the other side of the Yarden. Mm-hmm. He did not come back to Eretz Yisrael proper yet. So they're sending him a message, yeah, you can come back, we're going to accept you as our king, please come back. V'yoshev HaMelech v'yovei ad HaYarden. So David HaMelech now comes, he returns to the Yarden. So who comes to greet him first is Shevet Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda, who is his tribe, they come to greet him first and to help him cross the Yarden. We remember Shimi ben Gera. He was the one who cursed David HaMelech. As he's running away, he's cursing him, he's throwing rocks at him. Right, he's unbelievable, the chutzpah that he had. So now Shimi knows he's in big trouble. Avshalom is dead. David HaMelech is assuming control. What's he going to do?
No, so, I'm up the creek.
Yeah.
He's going to be head shorter.
Yes. So what does he do? So he comes down together with the Shevet of Yehuda who are greeting David. He now comes to David HaMelech. He's now bringing with him 1,000 men from the Shevet of Binyamin. Tzivah joins him, who came from the family of Shaul. We remember, we're going to deal with this later, but Tzivah was the only living heir of the base Shaul, and his servant, Mephibosheth, told David HaMelech, he fooled David HaMelech to think that Tziva was rebelling against him. And that's why he did not send any food. So we're going to see what happens later on with Tziva. But we've got now this huge camp of Shimi ben Gera, 1,000 men from Binyamin, and Tziva from Beis Shaul and his men. Now Shimi ben Gera is now falling in front of David HaMelech right before he's about to cross the Yarden. Why is he so desperate to come to David HaMelech so quickly? Right, he didn't even return to the palace. Right, even before he crossed the Yarden, he makes sure to fall in front of the David HaMelech. And to show his loyalty. Why is he doing that? Because once David HaMelech passes the Yarden and he returns to Eretz Yisrael,
he's king,
exactly. Again. Then he becomes king again. The halacha is Melech Shemachal al Kavaydai and Kavaydai Machal. A king who forgives for his Kavayd doesn't work. He's not allowed, he doesn't have the ability.
He's not allowed to
pardon anyone. Yeah,
he's not allowed to Pascha.
Give up his honor right. Like that. He's that way, and the people have to know and do the right thing, and he can say, "Nah, it's okay. It's all
right, exactly.
Not okay."
Exactly. So that's why Shimi ben Gera is coming now.
Before he crosses
the Yarden, before he becomes king again.
So
he's still got a chance.
Do that.
Right. So once he makes amends with David HaMelech now, then he's going to be safe.
Right.
Otherwise, it's over. Vayomer LaMelech Al Yachshav Li Adoni Avin. He's mentioning two things. There was two things he did wrong. First of all, he joined the rebels against David HaMelech. Right? That's one thing that he did wrong. That's he's saying, Al Yachshav Li Adoni Avin. Right? Don't consider my Avera. And then he's saying, there's one thing I did worse, which is I personally went ahead and yelled at you and cursed you and threw rocks at you, and that's a personal sin against the king. All right? So he's asking for forgiveness for both of these issues, both of these points that he did wrong. Ki yada avdecha ki ani chatasi, right? You know that what I had done wrong. I am now the first one to come to ask for forgiveness before all the other people who rebelled against you. Now, what's he saying over here? Okay, it's very nice that you're the first one. Right, but what's he saying over here? He's saying that he's basically telling him, if you don't go ahead, it's, in a way, it's a hinted threat. If you don't go ahead and accept me and pardon me for everything I've done against you, then the rest of the people, when they hear about this, they hear that you punished me for what I had done, they're going to think,
we're next.
We're next, right? Just like you killed Shimi Ben Gera, he's going to kill us too, right? So if you want to go ahead, if you want to go ahead and punish me, you're going to have a lot of trouble gaining the loyalty of all the other people. Yeah. And on the other hand, if you accept me, right, and you actually pardon me for what I had done wrong, you forgive me, then the rest of the Jewish people are going to do a Kal V'Chaymer.
They'll have hope that they can be forgiven.
Right, not only that, but they'll do a Kal V'Chaymer. If Shimi Ben Gera, who personally went against David Melech, and still David Melech went and forgave him, so us, who didn't do anything personal against him, we just joined the camp of Avshalim, then Kol Shekein, even more so, David Melech will for sure forgive us. That's...
So I noticed the nekudos over the word yatsa in Pasuk Chaf.
I don't have the nekudos.
No. Okay, it has it in the star here. I don't see any notes as to why. But.
I don't know. I didn't see anything about that.
Nothing in the commentary there.
No, I don't see anything. So the Radak points out over here, why is he saying L'chol Beis Yosef? Right? So first of all, he's saying that the Jewish people are called Beis Yosef. Right? It says, Ulay Chayin Hashem Tzvokas She'eris Yosef. We're referring to the Jewish people many times. Hashem refers to the Jewish people as Beis Yosef. So he's telling him, if you will forgive me, then you will forgive the whole of Beis Yosef. But he's also telling him another point. Just like Yosef at Tzadik, he forgave his brothers when they went against him, so too you, David Melech, should do the same thing that Yosef did. Just like he went ahead and forgave his brothers when they sold him.
You know, after Yaakov died, they were afraid that he was going to get even with them.
Right, right. But he truly forgave them. V'yad Avishai ben Tzruya v'yomer. Avishai was the brother of Yoav.
Who is he?
He's the brother of Yoav.
Of who?
Yoav.
Oh.
The general of David Melech. Remember, there were three camps that David Melech sent out. The camp of Yoav, he was his main general, and then Avishai was his brother, and Ittai Giti, it was the third camp.
So you tell him, hey, don't forget these guys. They don't deserve it.
Right. Yeah, he's going to tell him off. These two brothers are mamash causing a lot of trouble to David Melech. V'yad Avisha ben Tzruya v'yomer, atachas zois lo yuma shimi, kikil es Mashiach Hashem. How could you go ahead and forgive Shimi ben Gera? Right? I understand it's one thing if you want to pardon all the people in general for rebelling against you. You want to gain the loyalty. Okay. That's one thing. But Shimi ben Gera, he went personally against you. How could you just overlook that? And just let him go, let that go. V'emar David, ma liva lachem b'nei Tzruya, ki tiyu li hayoim l'satan. He's now telling off Avishai, you're causing me trouble, right? If I go ahead and listen to your advice and kill Shimi ben Gera, ki tiyu li hayoim l'satan. That's going to be for Satan. It's going to be trouble for me because then the rest of the people are going to be concerned that I'm going to kill them too. And I'm never going to be able to assume my malchus, my kingship. Right? If I want to go ahead and establish my kingship, the best way for me to do is not to kill Shimi ben Gera, not to kill anybody. Not to send out a message to all the people that I'm not out to get anybody, I'm not going to get revenge. and everyone's going to be pardoned, and that way I'll be able to become a Melech al Yisrael. That's the only way. But we're going to see later on that David Melech did not. he was smart enough. He told his son, Shlomo, he told him, listen, you're smart. You're smart. I want you to take care of Shimi. He didn't tell him what to do. Mm-hmm. He didn't tell him exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. He just told him to take care of him. And Shlomo HaMelech knew exactly what to do. He obviously understood that David wants Shimi Ben-Ger to be killed. Right? This is many years later, obviously, when David HaMelech's Malchus was already established. But he tells us that Shlomo HaMelech knew very well exactly what to do. He knew how to kill him without it looking like he's actually executing him for what he had done wrong. Mm-hmm. So what did he do? He tells Shimon ben Gera, listen, I want to keep a close eye on you. You know, you're someone who's on the terrorist list, terrorist watch, right? You got to stay in Yerushalayim. The second you leave Yerushalayim, mm-hmm. off with the head. You're dead, right? And what happened at the end? Shimon ben Gera left Yerushalayim for what? What did he leave Yerushalayim for?
His cattle, I think.
Exactly. He went to look for his assignats, his mules, oh, yeah. His donkeys.
Donkeys ran away.
Donkeys ran away. Oh, so you're going to risk your life? You're going to risk your life for donkeys? What was he thinking? Right? But Shlomo HaMelech knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to leave Yerushalayim. How did he know? Because Mayim Gnuvim Mutak, the second you tell someone not to do something, that's the thing they want to do most. Right? That's the way it works. Right? The second, imagine like you're sitting in a car and someone screams, oh my gosh, everybody, don't look to your left. What's the first thing everyone's going to do? Look to their left, right? So that's what Shlomo HaMelech did, because he knew that Shimi has to be killed, but he didn't want it to look like he's executing him. So he told him, listen, you know, just stay in Yerushalayim. If you leave Yerushalayim, you're going to be killed. And he knew he's going to leave Yerushalayim because he was not allowed to. So that's what ended up happening with Shimi ben Gera. But at this point, David HaMelech swears to Shimi. He tells him, "Vehem HaMelech Shimi, loy tomos, you're not going to die, at least not today." But he tells him, "I'm not going to kill you." Right? Mm-hmm. As for my son, I'm not saying anything, but I'm not going to kill you. Okay, we're going to stop here for now. We have the rest of the parak is very long, and we'll continue that next week. Mizr Hashem. Okay, have a good night, gentlemen.
Leo still.